I want to thank each one again for coming out tonight to hear what we call the gospel message. And before we read and seek to proclaim a gospel message, we'll just bow and ask God's help for our meeting. We'll pray. Our Father, we would just bow in the lovely name of thy Son. We thank thee for the one who has given the invitation, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And if there's anyone here tonight and they are seeking rest for their condition, they're longing to know maybe what eternity will hold for them, this is the night that they can close in with the offer that God has provided in the person of his Son. So we just pray to this end, and we pray that thou will draw graciously near tonight wherever the gospel goes forth, even in this little place, in this little village, that thou wilt not be forgetful of us. So we just pray thy presence upon us in thy name. Amen. There may be some here that hasn't been here a whole lot. I'm not sure. But I know every time I come in and sit down, and I've been coming to the hall since I was a young boy. And every time I come in and sit down, especially in the gospel meeting when the chairs are all facing the front, I always look at the map that's on the wall. It's a depiction of the two roads. It's called the Two Roads and the Two Destinies chart. And we are all born on this road, and you can see where that ends out. And if we want to end up in heaven, there's a door that we must go through, and Jesus Christ is that door. So that's the purpose of this meeting here tonight. I know the gospel is a plain and simple message, but I feel sometimes I may make it complicated, and so I trust that little introduction will make it clear for you. I'm going to read in the Gospel of Mark, the second book in the New Testament. Second book in the New Testament, Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "And a certain woman." Interesting, this morning, just read that now, and Dale read this morning from Luke chapter 10 about a certain Samaritan. Well, this is a certain woman. So we know it's concerning, it's not a parable per se, it's concerning a definite, certain woman that he has in mind when he's telling us this story. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, behind, and touched his garment." So that just simply means that there was a large multitude of people, and they were all around the Lord Jesus. There was a great number of people, a multitude. So that's what it means when it says that she came in the press behind him. She was in the crowd trying to get to the Lord Jesus. "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague," or of that sickness. It was a bleeding sickness, a hemorrhaging sickness. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague," or you're cured, in other words, of that sickness. One more verse back in the book before, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 is a sweet verse. It says, it's the words of the Lord Jesus. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But I was mainly thinking of the invitation of the Lord Jesus in verse 28, where he simply says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if we were to read in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 37, I believe it is, there's a verse there that is the words of the Lord Jesus again. And he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Or I will not cast anyone out. So if you're in the meeting tonight and you're wondering if the Lord Jesus is ready, willing, and able to save you, he is. He's not too big, and you're not too small for his care. And he's not too big to care for you in the meeting tonight. I already had to wipe my nose a couple of times. I've always had a runny nose, and I remember one time, I guess it's probably 40 years ago, I went to Dr. Montgomery, and for must have been some issue, and he said, "Is there anything else?" And I said, "Well, I always have a wet nose." That was probably a poor choice of words, because he kind of looked up at me, and he smiled, and he said, "Well, that's a sign of being very healthy, if you're a puppy." Well, needless to say, I never got the remedy. My nose still runs all the time and still wet. But I'm here tonight to tell you of one who has the remedy for you. We have a disease, and it's the only one that has that cure is the Lord Jesus, the one that we have read about. And I read that story about the woman back in Mark chapter. It's told in three of the Gospels. It's told in Matthew and Luke also, but I chose to read this account because it says how that she spent all that she had. And we are living in a world where if you were to get sad news, we'll say, and maybe you had some tests run, and maybe you went to the doctor, the doctor ran the tests, and the test results came back, and you get the phone call, we'd like to set up an appointment to talk with you. You know, sometimes that's not a very good message right there, especially if they don't tell you over the phone, and they want to see you. So maybe you go in, and they say, you know, the results have come back, and it's a serious disease, we'll say. And we'll not mention any disease, but you can probably think of diseases that are very serious that you probably would not want to have diagnosed for you. And then while you're trying to process that, you're wondering, what's he going to say next? He says, "But we have very good success rates. You know, it's been caught early, and we have good medicines, and there's a very good chance that you could come through this." And well, that's bad news to have gotten in the first place, but it's also good news that there is treatment for you. There's a possible remedy, that there's hope. And but you take a person that goes and you go into the doctor's office, and maybe they pull out, well, now, days gone by, they pull out the actual x-rays maybe, or the scan reports, but now they show you on the computer. And they'll bring up a picture, and they'll say, "Yeah, it's not what you were wanting to hear, what I have to tell you." And so now you're waiting for the next words. And this time the doctor says, there's really no treatment. There's no hope. And I can show you on this screen here. Here's the way that skin should look. And here's the way yours looks. That's devastating to know that there's no hope. And this woman, this was the situation that she found herself in. There was absolutely no hope. She had this issue for, it says, 12 years. She had traveled all over. She had seen many doctors, it would seem, and she probably went to other types of healers. I'm sure she did, because when we're in that situation where we have lost hope, we will do almost anything, and we'll try almost anything. You know, there's some remedies that, you know, that the people has told me, and you know, in the last couple of years, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't have thought that you would actually think that would actually work. But you see, when you're in a situation where there's no hope, we will try stuff. Just as an example, when I get a cold and I'm all filled up, and maybe it does work, but it certainly didn't work for me. I read one day, if you have a cold, a surefire method to help clear out all your sinuses and breathe easier and clear the congestion is just coat your feet with vapor rub. Put some socks on when you go to bed, and in the morning you'll feel like a new person. Well, I felt the very same way. But I tried it because I was hopeful. We cling to hope. And there are things that people have tried, especially back in the old ages. You know, people, when they had a sore throat or a bad cold, one of the remedies was putting a salve on, like a goose grease or a grease of some type on your neck, tie a sock around it. But the catch, it had to be a dirty sock. Well, if you thought it was going to work, you try it. And the dirtier, the better it would work. Well, these are just some of the remedies that we people try when they're in a hurt up situation. But you know, when we come to the disease that I have already mentioned about, the disease of sin that we're already born with, that's taking us down to a place called hell, people will try all sorts of man-made remedies. They will pray, they will go to church, they will turn over a new leaf. I had a woman tell me one time that I used to work with, she was turning 40, and I said, my son actually just turned 40 last week, and when I turned 40, I thought, man, I'm getting there, but now 40 sounds pretty good. But this lady was turning 40, and I'm younger than her, I said, how does it feel turning 40? And she said, just great. I said, why do you say that? She said, well, now I'm going to do and live and just do what I want. She said, I lived the first 40 years trying to obey the golden rule. She said, I think I have enough good deeds laid up to find favor with God. So she said, now I'm going to live for me. I said, well, what about the person that decides just to do that at 70? Should they have the same opportunity as you? Well, she didn't have an answer. So you see, that's why salvation is not found in what we can do ourselves. Could you imagine heaven, what it would be like if we're all up there bragging and what we did to get to heaven? And I'd tell what I did, and I'd listen to your story, and I'd be, is that all you had to do? I'd be a little put out, wouldn't I? That's why when God provided a way to heaven, thankfully, he only provided one way. And we all come the same way. And that's through the person of his son and what he suffered for you and for me. And this woman, she had heard about Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that when she heard that Jesus was passing through where she was, she had heard enough, obviously, that she said it to herself, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to this person. I've heard how he has raised the dead. I've heard about how he's made the dumb able to speak. I've heard about how he's made the deaf to hear. I've heard about how he's made the blind to see. I've even heard how he's raised people from the dead. She said, if there's any hope, I got to get to this one. And you in the meeting tonight, the sooner you realize that, the better it will be. We were singing the first hymn from the outset is, life at best is very brief. And whether we live to be 20, whether we live to be 40, 80, 100, or even more, it will end. And it will end before we expect it, really. Doesn't matter really how old a person lives, it will end. And it will end suddenly. You may even think whether you're, you know, I've heard people say, I've lived a great life. I have reached a good age. But it's still, life will end for that person. And it's where we go after we die that makes all the difference. What are you depending on to get to heaven? Are you depending on your own merits? Or are you depending on what Christ did on the cross? So this woman, she had spent all, she had tried all the remedies that she could come across, and she spent everything that she had. And when she heard that Jesus was passing through, she said, even if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch it, I'll be made whole. That was her faith in this one. And you know, it's not how much faith someone has, whether they can get saved or not. It's who the faith is in. And she had faith that Jesus could heal her. And she made just one mighty effort to get to him. But you know, she felt insignificant. She just wanted to get to him. And she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And sure enough, she touched the hem of his garment. I can remember my grandfather, and he was in the war. He was in two world wars, World War I and World War II. And he was injured in both of them. And then the second one, he had a scar here where the bullet had went in there and went out the top of his head. And he had, was discharged after that. But he was, I remember he used to, you know, in the war, you see tremendous things. And he used to go, and we, back in that day, they called him on a spree. And he would go on a spree. And sometimes when he would be going through those few days of his spree, he would say, when I was laying in that hospital and thought I was going to die, he said, I reached out and I touched his garment. I don't know what really, I was only a young boy at that time, and I don't really know what that meant to him. I find out maybe soon, but I don't really know what he meant by that. But hopefully it meant that he trusted in the Lord Jesus. He said, I just reached out and I touched his garment. And that's all this woman did. She reached and she touched his garment. It would seem that it probably the garment that will be the finished portion, maybe. I don't know. I've heard different takes on it, what it could mean. And I just like to think of it as the finished end. It's the where it's sewed up and finished off. And some have likened it in the gospel to the finished work of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if that's really what it means, but that's the way we'll apply it. If you trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, he will save you, just like he did this woman. And as soon as it happened, the Lord Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of him. And I don't want to downplay the power of God, the Lord Jesus, is God in power. And really, when he created the world, when he raised the dead, when he cured diseases, when he made the deaf to hear, it took nothing out of him. He had all power. But the virtue went out when she trusted in him for her forgiveness, for her healing. She trusted not only for her disease, but she trusted in him. And that's what saves. And it's not how much faith you have or how smart someone is, but when you trust in him, that's one of the things that used to confuse me. Well, how come they can seem to be able to get it? And the preacher says it's so simple, and that would make me cross, because how come I can't see it? How come I can't get it? Just focus on the Lord Jesus. He will not cast you out. And it's a very limited time that you have. It would seem, I don't know what's going to happen in the world. It would seem that it's pretty chaotic. And I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is someday that door of salvation that you see depicted on the chart will be closed. Are you just hovering maybe around the door, wondering, well, should I try a little bit more of my own remedies? Or should I trust in what God says? You know, going back to my grandfather, it reminded me of my sister-in-law I think it was on the 14th of June, she had put a thing on Facebook saying that it was 50 years since he, my grandfather, my mother's father, had died. And it made me think of the, it was a tragic death. And I know there's some here tonight, and you would remember what that was. He died in a house fire. And I can remember, I was just a few days shy of 14 at the time, and my mother called upstairs, and we were in bed, or I was in bed. I don't know about Hayes, and I don't know. And if I was in bed, he probably was, because he was younger. If I had to go, he probably had to go, but I don't know about the older ones. But I can remember Mom calling. She said, we have to go in to Dad's. The neighbor had called, and when he got home late at night, he seen all the smoke coming out through the house. There was no fire at that point, but the smoke was coming out around all the you know, the eaves and everything. So he had called the fire truck, the neighbor, which would have been my grandfather's brother's son, who lived directly across the street. And so he had called the fire department, and they got there basically just very shortly after we got there. We only lived a half a mile away or so, and they didn't want to open the door in case it burst back open in flames until the firemen got there. And I can remember when the firemen got there, the first thing they did was when they opened the door, they busted down the door, and there was my grandfather right by the door. Right by the door. But he didn't make it through. And it'd be an awful sad thing tonight if you are thinking about eternity and you're just at the door, but you won't go through it. You won't just trust in the Lord Jesus. And you know what they figure happened was, he had a fire extinguisher, and he must have, they figure he used to smoke the pipe and cigars, and they figure he went to sleep, and it lit in the bedroom. And so when he woke, he went to get the fire extinguisher, was by the door, so he got the fire extinguisher because it was gone, it was in the bedroom, and he tried to get it out. He tried to remedy the situation on his own. Just like some people maybe are tonight about their soul. You're still trying to remedy it on your own. So then when he realized that he couldn't get it out in time, or whatever the case was, he said, I better get out. I better get through that door. But you see, the door was locked. And by the time they figure it was still locked, he must have been fumbling to try to get the door unlocked, And there he was. He didn't get through in the end. If only he would have went out first. Eh? It would be an awful thing for someone tonight. If the Lord were to come tonight, before this meeting is closed, and you were right by the door, but you hadn't taken that step through. Life at best is very brief. We're not guaranteed the next day, and the Lord is coming. We sometimes sing, or we used to sing, I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold off the door. The Lord is coming. He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and with this verse, I'll end my little message, you know, the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When my oldest granddaughter was 2 or 3 or 4 years old, I'll have to check, I can't remember exactly how old she was, but Sally and Dale, when they were living in the house that they're living now, before the building, the garage that's there now, there was an old building there, and the roof was rusted, and Craig and I were painting the steel on the roof, and Elise must have been just old enough to kind of talk and walk and whatever. Can't remember the exact age, but I can remember her coming out onto the back step, and she seen me up on the roof, and she said, "Papa, come." So I come down. I know I told this before, but it just came to my mind, and I come down and said hello, and I come back up on the roof, and she went back in the house, and so we were painting, and first thing you know, the door opened again. "Papa, come." And of course, I didn't come that time. Then I looked, and she said, "Papa, come." And I looked, and the arms are open. "Come." So I had to go, and Craig said, "You're not going down there again, are you?" Well, I said, "Of course." She said, "Come. I don't want to disappoint. If you don't come to the Savior after all that he has done for you, what a great disappointment it must be for him. He suffered on the cross, untold agony, untold suffering, and underneath the wrath of God for your sin, answered for all your sin. And it's just like he's saying, come, I'll save you. I have the remedy for your sin. Just touch the hem of my garment, just trust him, and that takes you through the door."